Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Why don't we just start off by just opening in a word of prayer. Father God, I know that the message you've given me is just words on a page without your Holy Spirit working in and through it. God, I just pray tonight that your Holy Spirit would speak into the lives and the minds and to the hearts of every person here. That God, we come prepared. We're ready for you to challenge us in some way. While the person next to us might be challenged in one way, the person on the other side might be challenged in another. So God, we just open up to you and just give you the right to speak into each of our lives. Father, just go before me. Anoint this word. And Lord, we just pray that we would all walk out challenged, changed for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in case you haven't noticed, the Winter Olympics are on. If I was to be honest, I didn't think I would get quite into it as much as I have. I like what Skye said to me before. She said, yes, I love it. It's the disaster Olympics. We are all probably just waiting for somebody to fall over in some spectacular way. But there are some events that have taken my liking. I've really enjoyed watching this event. I've never seen it before. The snowboard racing has definitely grabbed my attention. The freestyle skiing is another one. I think these guys are just going, hey, you know, the snowboarders are just taking all the glory. We want to do some rail slides as well. But I just think, yes, you don't have to think too much or too hard to think how that could be a disaster. The one event I think that stands out the most, and you know, it's the one I always look forward to, and you might too, it's the luge. Or its crazier cousin, the skeleton. It's like, I don't know why anybody would want to do this particular sport. And I think Jerry Seinfeld encapsulates the sport better than anyone else. The luge is the only Olympic event where you could have people competing in it against their will, and it would look exactly the same. You can imagine, you know, just having at the next Olympics the involuntary luge event. Just going down the street, grabbing someone, strapping them in and saying, best of luck, if you make it to the bottom and survive, you might win a gold medal. That is the luge. You really wonder if with the luge, the game plan is just literally that. Let's just jump in, run, jump, hold on, close your eyes and hope that you survive. Now, obviously, that isn't true, we hope. No, obviously at the Olympics, every competitor, they train. They go through a huge campaign to compete in Korea at these Olympics. But I do wonder if that is sometimes our motto when it comes to life, to career, to family life, to school, to work, to our spiritual walk. Run, jump, hold on, close our eyes and hope for the best. I wonder. This is our new baby. We've just recently bought a Jayco Eagle caravan. I'm lucky enough to have some long service coming up this year. And we're at the moment planning a trip to Central Australia and down the East Coast, which will be a lot of fun with our family. We're going to visit the Great Barrier Reef, hopefully, visit my sister in Brisbane. And of course, the most exciting news to the kids is that we're also hoping to drop in and see Australia Zoo. Not that they want to see the animals, they want to see Bindi Irwin. Very exciting. And it really is exciting. We can't wait to have this trip together. But it's daunting at the same time, right? We've never been on a trip this big, travelled so far. And obviously, to do so, we need a game plan. We need a plan. We need to know where we're going, how long we're going to be there, where we're going to stay. Do we need to book ahead? Will they be perhaps sold out? We're at the petrol stations. Really don't want to get stuck in the middle of Central Australia with no petrol. How much food should we take? We need to get an electric brake controller installed on our car so that we can tow the caravan. New tyres, the list goes on. Lots of things to think about, lots of things to prepare for, lots of things to plan. But we've still got a few months to sort it out. And yet, it will come around so quickly. When it comes to a trip such as this, It makes sense, right? To have a plan, to be prepared, to have contingencies, to have insurances, backup plans, etc. Yet sometimes, when it comes to us, when it comes to the basics, when it comes to laying down those solid foundations in our spiritual lives, sometimes we can just hit cruise control. I wonder if I was to ask, do you have a favorite scripture? I'm sure most of you would. You'd have one or two that you could definitely quote, and you would say, this is a favorite of mine. Do you have a scripture for the year ahead? I wonder if you've got a scripture that you've sought God for that you say, hey, this is the scripture that I'm going to use throughout this year, perhaps my personal theme. Maybe during the Feb fast, it's something that's come up and you're like, I just can see how this might be a scripture for this year. Do you have one for your family? As I was thinking about this theme, foundations, one of the things that came to my mind was this scripture from Joshua 24:15, the last part of it. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Or the Australian version, as for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. Joshua declares this incredible statement at a time when Israel is actually in a time of peace. For 20 years, there's been no war, no fighting, no battles. Not because of their military prowess, but because God had brought it about. And you see, during time of war, revival would break out. The people had a vision, they had a goal, they were fighting for the name of Jehovah, their Lord. But now, Joshua's people, they were beginning to become a bit relaxed. They'd hit that cruise control button. Agriculture was increasing. The economy was looking healthy. People were settling back into their routines. And complacency was starting to settle in. Gradually, their society was becoming more permissive. The cause of God had begun to fade. And people were going about their own lives, pursuing their own careers, their own interests, their own things, busy seeking their own pleasures. Might sound a little familiar to our day and age. It's here, in the midst of this cultural change, during this time where people were losing their focus on God and perhaps starting to investigate the surrounding religions and their practices from these bordering nations, that Joshua sees the need to step in. He sees that he needs to get all the leaders together and give them a talking to. He was scared. He was scared for the future of his people. He was starting to age, and he knew that there was a new generation coming up that needed to be challenged, that needed to be equipped to protect the laws of Moses, the knowledge of God and his blessings, and to protect the watering down of Israel's relationship with Jehovah, the Lord Almighty, the one true God. He knew that there was great attraction towards the Canaanite gods and their child sacrifice practices and prostitution, their multiple god worship, and their free and loose living. So he gives them a speech to remember, a speech to the leaders, to the elders, the tribal and family heads, the judges and the officers. You can read all about it in Joshua 24. I won't read it all tonight. I'll just refer to it, but I encourage you to read it. It's a great speech. And the challenge from this Joshua 24 to mums and dads, of the future. Perhaps you're not planning a family just now, but one day you will. To grandparents, Joshua 24 is a challenge to you. So on the occasion, call your family together with a purpose, with a passion, to lay down regularly that solid foundation that me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. This is the foundation that I want you to come away with tonight. That would be something that perhaps would be inscribed upon your heart and your mind throughout this year. That one of the solid foundations, one of the scriptures that would form that solid base would be me and my household, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Most nights of the week, the dailies, we get together and we share a devotion before bed and we pray together. And at the conclusion of our prayers, I regularly like to pray, Lord, we love you with all our heart, with all our soul and all our mind. Amen. That's how I finish our prayer time together. Because it's a declaration in front of my kids, to my kids, for my kids, to God, that God, you mean the most to us. You are important to us, and we love you with everything that we've got. It's a reiteration of what we're called to do consistently right throughout the scriptures. In Deuteronomy 6:4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Not just an intellectual thing. Not just in our minds. Upon your hearts. Impress on them. Impress them on your children. Give them to your kids. Pass them on to your kids. Talk about them. When? When you sit at home. When you walk along the road. When you lie down. And when you get up. In other words, at every opportunity, impress these things upon your kids. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore your fathers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards, vineyards, and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Be careful amongst all these things that you don't forget where these blessings came from. And so this is what Joshua is doing. Just as with the words of Moses that we just read that were quoted there in Deuteronomy, Joshua brings the leaders together to remind them of what God has done. Don't forget it, people. It's too easy to do, isn't it? When life is good, when life is prosperous, when there's no war, when there's no famine. Moses says, write the promises and orders of God on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Write them everywhere you can. Be careful that you don't forget the Lord. So Joshua, he gets them together. He assembles these leaders. And he reminds them. He reminds them, guys, we've come out of lives of idolatry. Starting with Abraham's father. And Abraham is set apart. He's given many descendants, Isaac, Jacob, and then Moses and Aaron. And God sets them free from Egypt and he splits the Red Sea. He defeats the Amorites, protects them against the curses of Balaam and Balak. And instead of allowing those curses to take hold, he sees them blessed and blessed again. And so he gives this motivating speech, this powerful reminder to give them this challenge from verse 14. Hey guys, if you're looking for a foundation to build your family upon, then this is a great one. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped before the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua asks the tribes to make a choice. A choice. A choice right there and then. A choice now. Choose now who you will serve. Choose this day who you will serve. Not in a week's time. Not in a year's time. Not in a decade's time where there might be other influences. Choose this day who you will serve. Choose this day who you will serve. Who you will serve. Will it be career? Will it be money? Will you serve the god of lust? Or the god of self? Will you serve the god of football? The god of Netflix? Or the god of nature? Will you serve the god of spiritualism and mysticism? Will you choose to serve Satan himself? Or will you choose this day to serve the Lord? A foundation of Christianity is this sense of choice, free will. God, despite his better judgment, gives us the most powerful gift a creator can possibly give. The ability to set our own direction. The onus is on us to choose for ourselves life or death, blessings or curses. From Adam and Eve to Abraham and Sarah, to David, to Solomon, to Peter, to us and everybody in between. God wants us to choose and choose him. But he won't force it. So young person, today, tomorrow, in a week's time, in a year's time, you'll be faced with Joshua's challenge to his family. Family, who will you serve? Grandparent, you will continue to be faced with that same challenge. Who will you serve? Through the good times, through the tough, my children. This is what Joshua's saying. Hey, family, don't serve God because I serve him. Serve him because he's worthy of being served. Serve him because he's worthy of serving. Follow him because he is worthy of following him. Chase after him because he is worthy of catching. And the leaders, they respond. We will worship the Lord. They throw away their foreign gods and their practices, and they refocus back onto the sole worship of Jehovah, the one true God. And you know what? It says that they worshipped God the remaining days of Joshua and during the times of the elders who outlived Joshua. He brought them back, refocused them, said, who are you going to serve? So here are the takeaways that I want you to have and think about tonight as you consider Joshua. I want you to firstly add that statement to your life, to the foundations of your life, that cornerstone, that concrete footing, that place where you build everything else your faith in God is upon, that roadmap for your family. I believe that if this statement is said over our lives, over our families' lives, and it's prayed daily over our children, over our grandchildren, our church, our youth, our children's ministries, that it will bring life and hope and strength. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. So firstly, let's break that verse down into its separate words, the key words. And I think the first key word is me. As for me. That's you. That's me. As for me. The choice is mine. I'm given a choice to serve God or not. It's my choice, no one else's. My parents can't make that choice for me. They couldn't make that choice for me. They can pray for it. They can teach me the ways of God. But in the end, after they give me every head start in life towards serving and loving God, I have to make that decision for myself. Will I choose to serve God? Will I choose to love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength? And going to church, sitting in a seat, singing a song, says nothing about my actual heart towards Him. As I said before, serving God is more than an intellectual decision. It's an attitude of the heart. My heart. So the first challenge of this statement is, will myself and I commit to whatever it is that God asks of me? And will I lay that solid foundation daily to ensure it lasts the test of time? I encourage you to read Psalm 86. Again, for time, I won't read the whole thing. I'll just read a portion of it. But Psalm 86 is a great encouragement and great prayer of faith, I believe, that will allow us to head towards this. Psalm 86 from verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Will I do that? Will I serve the Lord and be that example, that exemplar to my kids, to my family? Will I take that leadership as a father, as a parent, as a grandparent? My household, me and my household, when it comes to our families, we can't run, jump, hold on, close our eyes and hope for the best, as much as sometimes we'd like to. They're too important, as are their eternal destinies. While I wish that I could take every step for my kids as they navigate through life, of course that is impossible. However, I can have a plan of attack in terms of helping them establish solid foundations. I can teach them daily what it looks like to have a relationship with their Lord Jesus, with their Lord God, the perfect Father. I can teach them and show them and model to them what it is to love God with all I've got. Proverbs 22:6 says, start children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And Deuteronomy 6:6 says, these statements that I give you today are to be on your hearts. I read it before. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Does our God conversation start and stop at devotion time at night, or does it continue in the car on the way to basketball training or on the way to school? Does it continue as we walk the dog? Does it continue as we sit around the dinner table and enjoy each other's company? As for me and my household, we. Joshua's household was twofold. One, it was the people of Israel and all of its tribes and people. That is one big family. That is a lot of people that he was leading and guiding. Yet, when he gives this statement that he and his household will serve the Lord, he's talking about his family group. He's saying, hey, leaders. Hey, heads of other families, heads of other tribes. This is what I'm going to do. He says, I can't force it upon you and your tribes to serve Jehovah the Lord. So you make your choice. I've made mine. To the best of my ability, I will follow the ways of God, seek and serve and worship Him alone. To be an exemplar to my children, and their children's children, that all blessings come from the Lord. If we just obey His word, live out His word, and love Him with all that we have. This passion, this devotion, this leadership, this strength, this reminder to the other tribes was enough for them also to say, yes, Joshua, we too will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:16. They say, far be it from us to forsake the Lord, to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our parents out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled, and the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God. They were repeating back to Him what He'd said. We've heard. We've listened. We get it. Yep, we've got off track. We're coming back on track. Thanks, Joshua, for that challenge. As for me and my house, we are going to serve. Serve is a verb. It's an action. It's something to engage in. It's something we can do. Joshua brings about a new treaty, a new covenant, an agreement with his people towards God to be written down, to be recorded that we can read it here today, to be abided by, that we will now serve. We will now worship Jehovah only. And he does it by encouraging them to make their own choice in this way, to recognize the self-evident merits of following God. Serve. It means to be a servant. It can also mean to be a slave or a bond slave. It means to attend, to be of use. And it's often translated here and swapped for the word worship. It's to be at God's calling. To acknowledge Him as Lord and King, ruler of our lives, in charge of our thoughts, our ambitions, our motivations. When we say, Lord, You are the one I will serve, it's us saying, You are now the center of my affections. You are the center of my decision making. You're the center of every direction that I seek for my life. And I want You to go before me, and I want You to go with me. Let my victories be Your victories. My successes, Your successes. That all I do brings glory and honor to You. And you know what? We can't serve God in our own strength. As much as we wish that we could, as much as that we try, it's only through His enabling that we can do so. What does serving God look like to you? I could list off examples. But I think you get it, and I think you understand. And my prayer would be that even now, as I say that, that God would actually be saying, here is how you can serve. This is what serving me looks like. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. When we truly focus on God, when we make Him the center of our lives, everything else falls into place. Easy to say, harder to believe, but it's true. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. When we truly allow that to be true, allow God to let everything else fall into place. Sometimes we serve God. Sometimes we serve ourselves. Sometimes we go, God, I need that reminder from Joshua again. I'm back on track. And then sometimes we serve ourselves once again. But if we can keep that focus, God will allow everything to fall into place. During the Winter Olympics, watching the skiing, the commentators, during the jumping events, they were talking about this term, spot your landing. They said that those that keep their eye on their landing, they are the ones that are going to land it every time. I looked that up and read a little bit more, and it said that the jumper shouldn't waste time looking over their shoulders and figuring out where they're going. Only when they touch the snow should their head then turn to look what is in front of them. Isn't that an amazing thought? That when we choose to serve God, that when everything is up in the air, things seem chaotic and in a spin, that we can simply turn our focus to Him and He will guide our path and He will help us land and land it every time. Choose this day who you will serve. Choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my family, we are going to serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the challenge of Joshua to each of us today. Lord, just as he chose to choose you, Lord, I thank you that we have that opportunity each and every day too. To choose and re-choose you. Father, if there's someone here tonight and they've never chosen you in the first place, God, I pray tonight that they would see that there is truth and hope in your word, in your scriptures. There is truth and hope through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died upon that cross to make a way to you, our Father. And Father, I just pray that they would take that step towards you to say, yeah, you know what? I've tried going my own way and it's just not working out. I need to serve the Lord. Father, for each one of us, it's a timely reminder as we think about foundations throughout this year that we need to realign ourselves with your word. We need to realign ourselves with who you are. We need to draw ourselves closer to you. And Lord, if other things are taking our focus, if we're beginning to serve other things, that just as Joshua challenged the tribes of Israel to come back and choose that day who they will serve. Tonight I pray that this would be a line in the sand moment where we would say, yes, today I choose again who I will serve. And Lord, that is you. Father, I pray for families. Lord, today is no more challenging than 50 years ago. No more challenging than 3,000 years ago. In terms of doing family well. In keeping our kids on track and following after you, God, I pray right now that you would bless the families of our church. I pray, God, that you would equip parents with wisdom, with direction. I pray that you'd equip them, Lord, with just that sustainability to stick it through when times are tough, when kids seem to be going perhaps in a different direction. Lord, that you would help us to be on our knees in prayer for our kids. That, Lord, we would be able to train them up in the ways of you and that they wouldn't depart from it, and we'd hold to that promise and see it come to pass. Lord, I pray for young people, youth, in this auditorium tonight. Lord, I pray that they would, without a shadow of a doubt, just say, oh, there's every distraction right now that would want to take me down this route or this route, down this path or down that path. But tonight, they would say, you know what? I've seen others go down that path and it just leads to destruction. I'm going to lead and go down the path that leads to life and life to the full. I'm going to go down the path that leads to serving God and knowing that in its fullness and its excitement and its blessing. God, every person in this room, I pray, help us to lay that solid foundation that says, today I choose to serve the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, the one and only true God. And we would know your blessing for it. I pray this in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen.